And we're back for week 14, covering the spread here to lose you more money for another week in a row. In Richmond, Texas, I am Dia, and coming to us from up north is Chuck.
Reporting live from the O.
Chuck, you got a couple fluffy friends with you tonight?
Got a couple of my furry friends. Mm-hmm.
They're looking for popcorn?
They're checking out popcorn. Too bad I ate it all.
So they're on the hunt. They're just going to try to attack you for the popcorn.
Mm-hmm. They still got that scent.
Okay. Do you have any popcorn salt or anything?
They're hunting dogs. They're coming for me.
How effective are they at hunting?
Zoe's effective. Chloe, not so much.
Is it just because Zoe beats her to the spot?
Zoe would be a good hunting dog if I hunt. Mm. She's always on the prowl for these rabbits and squirrels in our neighborhood.
Some would say you're always on the prowl.
No.
No. All right, Chuck. What are you drinking this evening?
Lemon lime Gatorade.
Living life on the edge.
Straight from Florida.
Do you think that's where it's manufactured?
Probably not.
Okay, probably not. Well, I'm actually drinking something from up in your home, like kind of your hometown up in Chicago. A little bit of a drive, but got some Goose Island Bourbon County brand stout. It is quite tasty.
Yeah, I tried to find some on Saturday. Couldn't find it.
They shipped it to me.
Shipped it down to Texas.
So for Black Friday, I didn't go shopping for clothes or electronics or whatever. I went to the liquor store, waited in line for an hour and a half to go buy like a lot of like rare beer and this Bourbon County deal. So that's how I spent most of my Black Friday morning, was in line at the liquor store. And it's probably the best Black Friday shopping I've done. I don't really do Black Friday, but I got some of that. Got to come home, watch some football games, drown my sorrows for the Baylor game. Saturday, me and you played a drinking game we'll talk about in a second. So it was a good time.
Good time, D-Block.
Yeah. Speaking of good time, let's go back to what was a bad time on Friday night with the first game of last week. Baylor was a point-and-a-half favorite going to Fort Worth to play the TCU Horned Frogs. That weather really made me want to go to the game. It was a nice blistery 20-something with pouring down rain. Maybe it wasn't 20 because it'd be like snowing, but it was quite cold. I think the wind chill was in the teens.
Dude, that sounds kind of like the weather I got up here right now, except I had snow today.
Yeah, but you live in Chicago, so it's expected. Fort Worth, didn't really expect that. Anyway, the conditions were absolute crap. It was 14-all going into overtime. TCU ended up scoring a touchdown. Well, Baylor scored a touchdown in the first overtime because they got the pass interference and they were able to get in the end zone. TCU came back, scored a touchdown also. TCU scored quickly on the second overtime. Baylor couldn't convert. It was a rough game.
It's a roughie.
It was a roughie. But, Will, who's your MVP for that game?
I'm going to go with Chris Johnson was MVP for TCU.
Could be. My MVP was the cheer girls for TCU. Like, that cold weather, it was pouring down rain. They have their, like, little cheerleader skirts still. No one gave them any wind pants. Don't know why, but they must have been freezing.
There's true warriors out there.
All year you've been talking about going to that game, and then it kind of, the ticket prices were high. I didn't have many people who were interested in going except for Hash. And like then we started looking at the weather, and the weather was crap, so we both decided, no, we're not going to go. So it was, I'm glad I didn't go, because I would have been, one, agitated, two, I probably would be sick right now. So anyway, so last week, you, Sally, and Dub all had TCU, so you guys got that right. The rest of us, not so much.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
We're going to see a theme with winner, winner this week. It's definitely not me.
Definitely wasn't me either.
It wasn't us, that's for sure. And our index fund went for a ride last week, so we'll get to that too.
High beta volatility.
Yeah. So staying in Texas, Navy came to Houston on Friday morning. I think the game kicked at 11 Central Time. Houston was a one-point favorite.
Dude, that's more than we need to talk about the American.
We got fun. Lots of points in the second half for U of H. Yeah. Navy kept scoring in the third quarter and then just didn't get anything going in the fourth. U of H rolled to an easy win for them, so the Cougars are now playing at home again this week in the American Championship.
Dude, I'd rather know what's going on in the high school Texas State playoffs than what's going on with the American Conference.
So KDA High School won 66-0 last week, and they will be in round four. But apparently they have an ineligible player issue they're working through, so they may be disqualified. So
sounds like they're kind of following those Friday Night Lights scripts right
there. Yeah, so KDA, my old high school, was also disqualified in 1998 for having an ineligible player who failed classes. So this might be the second time in 20 years this happens to him.
Dude, what did your coach say? You ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
That's exactly what he said. So in a related story, after I graduated high school 2 or 3 years later, he took over another high school in the area called Morton Ranch, and he actually got fired because he had all sorts of violations. So it never really fully came out what he did, but he's never gotten another head coaching job or coaching job in high school since then. So I think that theory really caught up to him. Shout out to Scott Svensson. I don't know what you're doing these days. So speaking of cheating and trying, Nebraska, I think Tommy Armstrong may have had some money on Iowa in this next game.
Oh, for sure.
Iowa's a point and a half favorite. Nebraska was the home dog, and they got beat pretty bad. Tommy Armstrong, I think.
Well, they lost by 8, but.
Well, yeah, but Tommy Armstrong had, like, what, 4 picks? It wasn't good. Yeah, it was every time you think Nebraska had something going offensively, they just couldn't. Like, it was. So those games, like, yes, it was like it wasn't a double-digit game, but at no point did I think Nebraska was going to come back.
I was hoping.
Yeah, I was hoping too, but that didn't work out. Tommy Armstrong, 296 passing, 4 picks.
And a pick 6, Matt Schaub style.
Mm-hmm. Their leading rusher for Nebraska, 19 carries for 2.9 yards a carry.
Almost up to 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It wasn't pretty. All right, so Nebraska lost. They went 5-7. But, Chuck, did they make a bowl game?
I've been saying it for weeks. Nebraska is going bowling this year. And you know what? They at 5-7, they made it.
How'd they make it, Chuck?
Never underestimate the heart of a champion.
Or the ARP or whatever it is.
I don't know what ARP stands for, but when I first saw that thing, all I could think of was the AARP. Mm-hmm. So it was like for old senior citizens.
And that's how they get. That's how they got to the game, the old people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
AARP. Yeah, the AARP went, yep.
White Lion knows what's up.
White Lion had a good week last week. What's our next game on the list? Ohio State went to Michigan. The game was a pick'em. And pretty quickly, we tried to figure out why it was a pick'em. Ohio State just dominated. They made their case for.
Ohio State remembered Zeke Elliott is on their team. Mm-hmm. And gave him the rock. And
afterward, like, Urban Meyer's hugging him. Like, he needs to go to the Heisman ceremony. Da-da-da-da-da. The week before, he didn't give him the ball. So, there's that. All right, so Ohio State dominates. Michigan, 3-loss team. Is what it is. Alabama went to Auburn. Chuck, you're pretty opinionated about this game on Saturday.
Game was fixed.
Fix is in for Henry.
Yeah, so I had Auburn plus 14.5. Nobody really thought Auburn would beat Alabama. Keeping it close. If you had Auburn, you had it covered for 59 minutes and 35 seconds on a 4th-and-1. They break it for a touchdown with 25 seconds left in the game. Meaningless score, just adding on stats for Derrick Henry's Heisman approach. And made all us Auburn backers very mad. Cost Vegas a lot of money, too.
Yep, that probably sealed up the Heisman for Derrick Henry. Dude has more yards than Trent Richardson and
Mark Ingram.
Mark Ingram did, so probably going to win the thing. UCLA went to USC. USC was a 3.5-point favorite. And USC ended up winning by almost, was it 20? I think it was like 40-20.
40-21.
Yeah. So UCLA was kind of close until midway in the third quarter, and then USC opened it up. And Clay Helton ended up getting a full-time job out of the deal, so props to him. Chuck, this next game, we played a nice drinking game with Sally being the judge. Penn State went to Sparty. Sparty is an 11-point favorite. How would you describe watching that game?
Dude, it sucked watching that game. That was a pitiful football game to watch. Didn't make it all the way through. Trying to play a drinking game watching this just didn't work out. I mean,
we thought it'd make it more enjoyable, but the first quarter wasn't a whole hell of a lot going on. The second quarter, there's a drive we actually got to drink a lot. We played the solid verbal drinking game, which, you know, for every inaccurate pass, you took a drink. And for, you know, offensive lineman blocking offensive lineman, you took five drinks. And we kind of thought there'd be more drinking. And at one point in the first quarter, we talked about just including Michigan State in that same deal. But I don't know. It was not all it was cracked up to be, so.
It was a letdown.
It was like most Big Ten football games, just kind of a boring letdown and all that. Connor Cook did play. He played pretty well, so. The Egg Bowl. Uncle Brett was highly intrigued in this game for his Bulldogs. Ole Miss was a one-point favorite.
Did Uncle Brett go to Mississippi State?
Uncle Brett's a big Mississippi State fan.
I hope he doesn't listen to our podcast then about what we think about Mississippi State fans.
I know he listens every week, but I actually didn't get a text last week about what he thought about Matt's Stark Vegas comments. But it's funny because a couple weeks ago, whenever we were talking about like Leonard Fournette and how we need an explanation, like I knew he listened because a day later I got a text about like his thought process on Fournette, and then we talked about Josh Gordon and him hiring for his dealership and couldn't pass a drug test. So I know he listened, so maybe he's just being nice and didn't want to comment about Matt. So, yeah. Ole Miss pulled away in the second half from the Bulldogs. Just turnovers are the name of the game there. The Bulldogs had two. Dak Prescott out through Chad Kelly, but just couldn't get it done with the two turnovers that they had. So there's that. Florida State went to Florida. How did Florida's offense look?
Not very good. Looked kind of like Baylor's offense.
Baylor scored more than a safety.
So, oh yeah, I forgot that's all they scored.
Yeah, they lost like 21-2.
It was bad.
Yeah, it was not good. So Florida catches the L in the swamp.
You know what it was? They're just looking ahead to Alabama.
They've been looking ahead for about a month now. Vanderbilt, Florida Atlantic.
They're tricking you.
Dude. Watch them pull, like, the upset of the year. Like, what if – you think they get in the playoff?
Nope.
Nope. I mean, they only have, what, one loss?
If Florida wins, Ohio State gets into the playoffs.
Two losses. What about Stanford? What if they win the Pac-12?
I hear people talking about that, and, oh, they would be conference champions. But, dude, you lost two games.
I mean, I get that, but then I guess the other part of the argument would be, like, if North Carolina can somehow beat Clemson, are they in? They played two FCS teams.
Nope. Unless they, like, come out and win, like, Ohio State beat Wisconsin and win 59-0. Nope. I don't think UNC's got really any shot. Realistically, UNC would need, I think, Alabama, Stanford, and Clemson to lose to make it.
Hmm. Well, so you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, there's a chance.
That's all they need to know. All right, yeah, so Treon Harris for Florida was 19 of 38, so 50% passing for 134 yards, averaged 3.5 yards a throw.
Oh, that's good.
It's very good. So Florida State's offense, other than Dalvin Cook, couldn't get much going. Dalvin Cook, though, had 183 yards, did his deal. Dude's had a hell of a year. Dalvin Cook is at, what, 1,700 yards? 1,658, so had a heck of a year. Even that's with missing games. How many games do you miss?
You know how I'd go for a Heisman? I got Baker Mayfield as my Heisman over Derrick Henry.
I would, but I think they're going to give it to Derrick Henry. And I think that Mayfield will finish third because they'll be like, well, Deshaun Watson led him to an undefeated season. I think Baker Mayfield's a better player.
What sort of assumptions are you making about that UNC game?
I think I just gave away my pick for the winner.
More on that later.
Yeah, I don't even know the line, but if it's double digits, is it double digits? Probably not.
Probably not, dude.
It's five. Okay. Maybe I'll have to take Clemson still. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I think those will be your three there. I think it'll be Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield, and Derrick Henry. But I think they'll give it to the Alabama running back. But granted, they don't really give it to running backs anymore, so I guess we'll see.
For all the Alabama running backs.
Like Ingram?
Richardson
won it too. Yeah, that's true, he did. Didn't he?
I think so.
Drawing a blank. Notre Dame Stanford. You were heavily intrigued by this one. As you put earlier, you were on tilt.
Yeah, I had a significant amount of money in real life bet on Stanford in this game on their money line. So I mean, they just had to win the game. So I was pretty intently watching. Basically, it was back and forth game most of the way. Stanford kind of held the edge most of the game.
By the way, I don't know why we thought Trent Richardson won the Heisman Trophy. Robert Griffin won the Heisman Trophy that year.
Who's that?
I don't know. Some dude from Washington.
Yeah. Some bench warmer.
Yeah. Some backup.
Yeah, so I went back and forth.
Should they have a statue of him at his college? It's creepy.
Yeah, it's a really ugly statue.
It is. Anyway, continue.
Where was it? Oh, so he went back and forth. Notre Dame makes a final drive to take the lead with like 30 seconds left, and I'm just like, oh shit, I'm gonna lose. And then they have
should
a
be noted you had the money line, not the 3.5.
I had the money line. I did not have the spread. And then Stanford had like a big 30-35 yard play to their tight end, got themselves in field goal range, kicked a 45 yard field goal as time expires to end Notre Dame's hope for the college football playoffs and win me a lot of money.
But you're most concerned about the playoff outcome at the moment, right?
I would have been if Baylor had won, but we all know that didn't happen.
Fucking rain. All right.
Yeah, I don't know if it was necessarily the rain that cost us.
Third string quarterbacks.
Yeah, that one had a little bit to do with it.
Damn defense.
No, I don't think so.
No, Sally wanted to fire Phil Bennett that night, which
definitely wasn't our defense that cost us.
Yeah, Sally was texting me and Will that night, and he was like, we got to fire Phil Bennett. I'm like, Sally, we've given up 14 points. This is like, that's a winnable score for the defense. It's fine. But then the next morning he wanted to fire the offensive coordinator. So
you're in a Kendall.
Yeah.
All right, go fire your son.
Get him out of there. In a related story, Kendall Briles is up for top assistant coach in the country this year. So he's the finalist for the Broyles Award. So
I don't know if he should win that.
No, he won't. I mean, Lincoln Riley should, but. A&M, Texas A&M went to LSU. LSU was a 5.5-point favorite, and they were fighting for Les Miles' job. And A&M did what they've done the last half of the SEC season. They scored one offensive touchdown against LSU. So, the Aggies struggling on offense. Last year they fired their defensive coordinator. This year they're set to fire their offensive coordinator. So at some point someone may have to look at himself. But Les Miles' job gets saved. And most of the country misses the Stanford game because of that.
No, I wouldn't say most of the country. Most people don't care about LSU A&M. Okay. A lot more of the country cares.
A lot of my social circle down here in Texas were pretty much watching that game and not the Notre Dame game.
It's because you got a bunch of like sheep herders that went to Texas A&M that live down there.
Mm-hmm. I know lots of sheep herders. It's a big pastime around these parts. So anyway.
Isn't that what y'all do down in Texas?
Oh, for sure. I own like all my sheep are out back. Like Charlie's kind of a herder.
I mean, look at Charlie. You just gotta. Isn't Charlie a sheep? You just kind of.
We just dye your hair.
Cut his hair.
It's a herb, but yeah.
Her.
Yeah. But now Whitney's concerned that we're talking about cutting the hair's dog. She looks up and just goes, "What?" We dye Charlie. She's like a sheep. No. Okay. We'll talk about it later. Oklahoma was a 6.5-point favorite going to Oklahoma State. Chuck, you want to talk
about that? Watch the first half, and Oklahoma was clearly the better team. Kind of like I've said all year, Oklahoma State is garbage. showed up again. When they play a team with better talent, they just can't beat them. I didn't even watch the second half. It was over at that point.
So. You think they should fire Mike Gundy? Like LSU was talking about firing their coach just because
They talked about firing Mike Gundy last year.
I know.
Idiots. That's it's kind of like Oklahoma wanted to get rid of Bob Stoops. Freaking idiots.
Yeah. Don't let fans make your decisions for you, athletic directors. Not a good plan.
Actually, I think the fans are the ones that made LSU keep Les Miles.
All right, let's try this, though. But, like, usually boosters with lots of money, they're nothing but, like, internet fans with money for the most part. Like, they're just rabid message board fans who just like they're like internet comments.
I want to be one of those guys if I get to have lots of money.
Yeah, see, you should be because you're pretty level-headed for the most part. But, for instance, Sally could not be. He would fire everybody every week.
He would be kind of like, what's his name? The owner of the Miami Dolphins, Stephen Ross.
Yeah, just canning everybody.
Just every week somebody's getting fired.
Yeah, pretty much. We're kind of like USC football. Well, I guess they never really branch out. They kind of keep this whole ancestral thing where it's always got to be USC people, and then they do bad again, and then they wonder why they're bad. And yeah, could be that. All right, so we've rambled on for last week enough. Last week our winner was Whitney the White Lion with 10. Dub was our special guest last week. He had 7. And then Callie and Caitlin tied with 7. I think they colluded. They had the exact same picks on every game. So, yeah. And speaking of collusion, the index fund of Shando did not turn in picks. So, Kirch got no credit for that one. I don't think he knows that yet, but I guess he'll figure that out when he listens to this. So, that high beta index fund bit back. Goes up fast, goes down fast, Kirch. Keep that in mind. Sally had 5. Chuck had 4. I had 2. I forgot Uncle Brett had 6. So Uncle Brett was tied for 5th. Sally was 6th. Chuck was 7th. And I was 8th. They got a whopping 2 last week. So Matt had an off-the-board bet of Illinois plus 23. That covered. I had an off-the-board pick of SMU plus 21.5. They lost 63-0, so that wasn't even close. So heading into our last regular season week of championship week, Chuck, you're in first with 81 points. Sally and Whitney are tied with 74. I'm in fourth with 69. Brett has 59. Passed up Kirch with the 0. Kirch had 58. Sarah has 53. Dub has 52. And yeah, so that's about everybody. Callie has 24. Kaylin has 29 somehow. Our bets last week, Chuck, how'd those fare?
Straight losers.
Mm-hmm. Was there any in between? Any winners at all?
Nope. Dia put $1,000 on Stanford. Loss. Mm-hmm. Me, 400 Nebraska. Loss. 400 Stanford. Loss. 200 Oklahoma State. Loss. Dub, 1,000 on Auburn. Loss. So all three of us lost $1,000 last week.
We're nothing but consistent.
They're very consistent.
So how are we looking year to date?
Well, year to date, if you want to lose some money, just listen to us. Dia is now down $1,882. I am now down for the first time, went into negative. And when I went negative hard. Straight down to negative $990 on the year. But I do have a commanding lead over Dia.
You think we should change your name next year to Losing Your Money?
Might as well.
Yeah, I like how your bragging point is you have a commanding lead on my negative.
Dude, I'm putting all my money on one game here. I'm gonna get back to positive by the end of the year. Go big or go home.
The funny part is if you bet all 1,000 this week on one game.
Money line, Dia. Money line.
Okay, I'm just saying, because if you bet all 1,000 on just a regular game, you're still going to be 90 in the hole.
Dia, I got money line. Not really a lock of the week, but I just want to try and get back positive.
What was your lock of the week last week? Did you have one?
I did not have one, but I did have a very strong opinion on. So my real life bet as I got close.
Oh, Nebraska was it, wasn't it?
I don't think I had it as a lock of the week, but I was pretty strong on Nebraska. And then what ended up being my biggest bet of the weekend, real life was Ohio State.
I thought it was Stanford.
Oh, yeah, that one I got a little bit more on tilt, yeah. That was after, like, drinking, yeah.
I think that's when you texted a picture when you moved to Balcones.
Yep.
Yeah. That's after a drinking game?
Real life betting last week, I went, like, 3-10. But all three of my wins were my big bets, were Ohio State, Stanford. Oh, yeah, I won USC, too. The rest of them all sucked. Just pitiful.
All right, so let's move to this week. I'm really excited to get lots of your opinions on these games. Cause,
a lot of games I don't give two shits about.
But maybe you'll give three. You might.
No.
Let's kick off the first one. Mr. Dino Bites himself, coach rumored lots of different places, doesn't keep landing these things the last couple of days. Dino Babers at Bowling Green plays against Northern Illinois for the third year in a row. You're good. I can keep talking over your fake yawns. They play Northern Illinois for the third year in a row for the MAC title. Does Bowling Green cover the 12 this year and finally win the MAC title?
Well, dude, what happened the first 2 years they played?
They did not win it.
And not only did they not cover a massive spread like that, they didn't even win the damn division or conference. I'm taking right here down the road from me the Northern Illinois Huskies to cover. Could that be my money line special? We'll have to wait and find out.
Bowling Green, Matt Johnson, their quarterback, is the passing leader in the country, so you'll get to see him on Friday night if you like. Travis Green is a good running back for the Falcons, but their main offensive weapon is Roger Lewis. He has 1,400 yards, and he leads the country in receiving yards. They have two other wideouts over 800 yards. It's a very versatile offense who can all catch the ball and get some yards. The problem with Bowling Green is their defense is terrible. But on the flip side, Ryan Graham at quarterback for the Huskies just took
over. Do you even know any of these players?
I did some research. Ryan Graham took over at quarterback about four or five games ago, something like that. He's just a game manager.
So what you're saying is you did some research like 30 minutes ago. So why should people really trust your opinion on this?
Because I don't know if they know who Ryan Graham is.
You're just throwing out stats that you saw. No wonder you lose all your bets.
How you doing these days?
Not so hot.
All right, be quiet over there. All right, so they just handed off the ball to Joel Bergeron. He's carrying the ball about 21 times a game. He's hit or miss the last couple of games. He's been under 4 yards a carry, but that's what they're going to do. Bowling Green is going to score a lot of points. They're going to move the ball effectively, and it's going to be up to the Huskies' rushing attack to see if they can keep up. I'm taking Bowling Green to cover the 12. I just don't think MAC teams are fast enough to stay with them. So give me the Falcons.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool beans.
All right, the next game you can talk about because you know something about it.
What do we got next?
Okay, I thought you were looking at the sheet. UT.
Oh, Baylor, UT. Mm-hmm. Man, when I was a little kid, UT was my dream school. I loved watching Texas football. Then I went to Baylor.
And then you still like watching Texas play football.
I enjoy Texas.
Texas was winning national championships.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll make no quarrels about that. I love Mack Brown. Thought he was a great coach. Never should have got rid of him. So Swoops is going to be the starting quarterback. Hurd is out. This is kind of one of those games I think Baylor is going to try and just make a statement after losing to TCU. UT just doesn't have enough offense. I see this game's either going to go one of two ways. It's going to be a closer game because UT just not so much they score a whole ton, but they're going to control the clock because they're going to run every single play. Or Baylor kind of shuts them down a little bit and can do – get their offense going and blows them out. I'm going to lay the points here with Baylor. Give me the 20.5. Get something like a 49-17 type game.
Yeah, so last week Chris Johnson looked like he was trying to throw a bowling ball down the field. No one could catch him. I want to say he ended like 6 of 27 or something. Didn't you tell me he had 2 yards passing the second half?
Who?
Chris Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Chris Johnson did not complete a pass in regulation. His first completion was like 0 of 9.
Well, he had passes in regulation, maybe not the second half.
In the second half. And then his first completion in the second half was like a 2 or 4 yard touchdown pass in overtime. I think that was his only completion of the second half.
Yeah. So you get him for another full game of Waco, although it's supposed to be dry, so that should help. I would imagine he's not going to be that terrible again. Shaq Linwood's supposed to be back.
I hope he can be better than like 1 of 11 for 2 yards.
If he's not, Baylor's not covering the 20. I watched the UT Texas Tech game Thanksgiving night, and that game got interesting late just because Texas Tech may have the worst rushing defense in the country. They just get run all over. So, like, at the end of the game, it's just everyone's running up and down the field. 21's a lot of points. I don't think Baylor's going to win by 21. I think they win effectively, maybe by 17 or so. I just don't think they're
going to win. What about 20 and a half?
It's 20 and a half, so they need 21 to cover. I don't think they're going to be 3 touchdowns better on Saturday in the morning.
You can't get half points?
I don't think they've figured out how to do that just yet.
Maybe kind of like a mini extra point.
Mini? Have you seen our kicker? Dude's the next Fat Randy.
Oh, the curse of Fat Randy.
Yeah, at least Fat Randy's getting NFL money. Callahan, like, may get replaced on Baylor squad, so. Anyway, so taking Texas to cover the 21 basically in Waco, so. We'll stay in Texas for the next game for the American Championship. Chuck has been looking forward to this game for months. Temple comes to the University of Houston. Houston is a 6-point favorite.
We all know my opinion on talking about American football. I will say I give you one-word answers. Last 2 weeks, they've been money. Temple.
That's it?
One-word answer, deal.
Okay. All right. So last week U of H was able to
just, nope, too many stats. One word answer, dear.
I didn't give you any stats yet. I just said U of H is or was, and you stopped me.
Well, that's too much. You just say Temple, U of H.
All right. Temple.
Next.
PJ Walker.
Nope, he's on Temple.
No, that's my point.
I meant next game.
I thought you like next.
Not the next word.
Well, since you said next, Jahad Thomas.
All right, we're done.
All right, our third game of the week, Chuck is going to.
Dude, he's like, shit, I just did 20 minutes of research on this. Can I throw out these stats?
Okay, I'm glad. Thanks for your permission. The fourth game on the list this week is Southern Miss plays Western Kentucky for the Conference USA Championship game. Southern Miss is led by Nick Mullins. He's going to throw for over 4,000 yards this game. They have a two-headed backfield with Ito Smith and Jalen Richard. Michael Thomas gives them a vertical throw on the outside for the Golden Eagles. On the other side, Western Kentucky, I think, has been very undervalued, and I think they're going to end up winning this game easily. Why?
Dude, you think they're undervalued? You don't know a damn thing about these two schools.
Check this out. Brandon Daughtry leads the country in total touchdowns with 42. He has 5 picks on the year. Anthony Wells has 130 carries on the year and still is averaging over 7 yards a carry.
Did you know any of these stats or players?
I did know Brandon Daughtry before this, yes.
Okay, besides him, I think if you follow football at all, you've at least heard his name.
No.
Besides him, anybody else?
That's about it, no.
All right.
But we're previewing these games, so we need to talk about them. Anyway, their major difference other than their style of offense with Southern Miss having more of a balanced attack and more of a rushing attack is that Western Kentucky's defense is legit. Last game I saw them actually play was whenever they played Vandy earlier in the year, and their defense was able to stop Vandy, which as we know isn't a lot, is saying a lot, but for a Conference USA team to basically hold Navy to almost no points is pretty impressive. Their defense is legit. They'll be able to slow down the game for Southern Miss. I think Western Kentucky will be able to cover the 7.5 at home. Mr. Chuck?
Are we still talking here?
No, see, now it's your turn to talk.
So to be completely honest, as you can tell, I don't know anything about these teams other than kind of what you already talked about, their quarterback for Western Kentucky.
What about Nick Mullins?
No, don't know who that is. Didn't Western Kentucky play somebody in the SEC this year?
I just talked about that Vanderbilt.
Didn't they play somebody else?
I don't think so.
I know they won the Vanderbilt game.
Mm-hmm, they did.
It was like the first game of the season.
Hold on.
Didn't they play LSU?
I'm looking. Hold on. They played Indiana. They played LSU. LSU, they lost 48-20.
Yeah, okay, yep. So I'm taking Western Kentucky, more battle-tested, that's all.
Because they got destroyed by LSU?
Battle-tested, the experience.
Okay. What if I tell you that Southern Miss also played Mississippi State and Nebraska and Marshall?
Oh, Marshall, throwing out the big guns there, do you?
Well, you're saying battle-tested.
Here's the question. Now, who do you think has uglier fans, Southern Miss or Mississippi State?
Fans or student body?
Let's go student body.
Student body, got to be Southern Miss.
I have no clue what their student body looks like. I just like to throw Mississippi State out there.
What about fan base, though?
I don't know anybody that's a fan of either team.
You know Uncle Brett.
So there we go. I know one person. Small sample size.
Fair enough. Well, apparently, according to Kirch, 6 is statistically significant.
Well, 1 is not.
Mm, true.
Solo uno.
All right. So you taking Western Kentucky because they're battle tested?
Yep.
Okay.
I can't believe I just talked more about a Sun Belt game than I did at the American.
Well, that's good because it's not the Sun Belt game. That's Conference USA.
Ah, shit.
Yep.
Forgot they changed.
Well, here, I'll give you the option. If you want like to go back and talk more about Temple and the American, you're more than welcome to.
Nope.
Nope. Okay. For the record, you've now spent more words talking about how you don't want to talk about the American than you did on their actual game.
Yep.
Okay. Next game, University of Florida gets to go get annihilated by Alabama in Georgia.
Ah, finally, back to some real football.
Does Florida count as real football? Sort of. Okay. Let's be real here. So hard to miss it these days.
Florida is the number 18 team in the country. So apparently there are 132 teams? So that's 114 teams worse than Florida.
According to a committee, and there's 127 teams in the country.
Well, shit. Yeah. Well, then there's 119 teams worse than Florida. I mean, there's not 119. What did you say, 127?
Mm-hmm.
So there's 109 teams worse than Florida.
Gotcha.
Southern Miss, Western Kentucky, U of H, Temple, Bowling Green, NIU, UT. So most of the teams we talked about.
But you know what? On Football Outsiders, they have Western Kentucky on their metric rated higher than Florida.
Yeah. This ain't a metrics game. This is an eyeball test.
Would you put Florida at number 18 for your eyeball test?
Who's the number 19? I'll tell you if I put them over them.
On this deal? TCU.
I'm taking TCU over Florida.
Here's number 18 on this listing, Bowling Green.
Oh, not on your listing. I mean like actual ranks.
Oh, I don't know. Hold on.
Your listings are garbage.
I don't know. They're not helping me out, though, so I guess they can't say I don't really know. They're not helping me. Number 19 on this ranking is U of H.
I'm taking Florida over U of H.
20 is USC.
Taking USC over Florida.
LSU.
I'm taking Florida.
Temple.
Florida.
Navy.
Florida.
Utah.
Florida.
Tennessee.
Florida.
All right, let's go above Florida. Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State.
Oregon.
Oregon.
Michigan.
Michigan.
Northwestern.
Florida.
Okay. Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Baylor.
Baylor.
TCU.
All right, all these teams, it's going to be over Florida. All right,
so basically you think Florida's pretty easily like ranked around 18, except that you would put USC in front of them and you would drop back Northwestern. So you have them pretty much at 18.
Yep.
All right. So
I'm not saying they're very pretty to watch, but I don't think their defense is one of the best in the country.
I agree, but ever since like Tayon Harris took over, it's been bad.
Yeah, I mean they're tough to watch. It's not somebody you want to sit down and watch football.
No, you don't. So do you think Alabama covers 18 on them or 17 and a half?
So I mean, the last couple of games, what have we had? Florida gets destroyed by
Florida State
struggles with what was it? Florida Atlantic or yep. Florida something?
Florida Atlantic, gotta get them right.
Florida Atlantic barely beat Vanderbilt. Bama coming off a big rivalry win over Auburn. Derrick Henry got handed the ball, what was it, 45, 46 times. Going to take wear and tear on him. Like we already said, Florida's defense is one of the best in the country. I think they'll slow down Derrick Henry. I think Jake Coker will have trouble passing the ball. So I'm in 17.5 points. That's a lot of points. I'm going to go with Florida here to cover. Do I think Florida has a chance to win this game? No, I don't. But I think you're going to see a game something like 27-13, 23-14 type game. Oh, man, that's maybe too much credit for Florida's offense.
Mm-hmm.
Pick six in there or something. or maybe you'll see like a 17-0 type game. But, I mean, a lower-scoring game where I just don't think that Bama's going to beat them by more than two touchdowns and a field goal.
Yeah, so like you said, the name of the game for Florida is their defense. Vernon Hargreaves is pretty much going to shut down the Alabama passing attack out in the corner. Florida's defense is number five in the country, basically. They're very good against the run. They'll be able to slow down Derrick Henry in theory. But I just think it's kind of a war of attrition. Like, they're not going to be able to score enough points offensively. Derrick Henry's still going to get his at some point. I like Alabama to win. I don't like them to win by 18 because even though Florida's just – they don't get blown out often. Granted, they don't blow teams out or really play all that well recently. But, yeah, I think – no, screw it. I'm going the other way. I'm taking Alabama to cover the 18. Every time I bet against Bama, they don't cover. Florida's offense isn't going to be able to score enough, I don't think. I think Harris is bad.
Did you just talk yourself out of your original bet?
I did. And then I did. And then Kelvin Taylor's pretty bad. I'm taking Alabama.
Dude's like, roll damn tide.
Roll tide. That's my Alabama impression. Meemaw would be proud. Meemaw lives in Alabama now.
Good to know.
So speaking of thick accents, let's go to our next game. West Virginia goes to Kansas State. The Mountaineers are a 6.5-point favorite going to visit Bill Snyder for Christmas. Do you like the little apple to get wild on Saturday?
Oh, yeah. I like this game better for K-State. Well, actually, I don't really like this game either way.
Will you watch this game?
What time is the game on?
2:30.
Probably not. What time is it? 2:30?
2:30.
No.
It's the same time as the SEC title game.
I honestly probably won't watch any football until the night games.
You're not going to watch the Baylor game?
Maybe I'll watch some of the Baylor game and, yeah. I'll probably...
So you're not going to watch the Baylor game?
No, I'll watch the Baylor game, okay. But it'll probably be over at halftime and no need to watch.
Okay.
See, I gotta live a little bit. I can't just watch football all day.
So our tailgate this weekend is a Catalina wine mixer. We put Kirch in charge. We're having lots of wine. We got some cheese.
That sounds pretty gay.
I brewed some beer for this tailgate. It should be fun.
The wine part, cheese, that sounds stupid. I thought Domi's was bringing some wings.
His uncle's making wings.
Wings and wine don't mix.
Well, no, but the wine thing's been scheduled since, like, September. And then Domi's uncle makes really good wings, so we're going to take him up on that.
Well, what if I want wings?
Can you come to tailgate? And also, that same movie, we got Catalina Wine Mixer from. So, full circle there, Chuck.
Yeah, and that's why I said that.
We can go sailgating, and we can play I'm on a Boat.
All right, back to the game. I'm going to take – oh, so what I was saying is I liked K-State better when they were playing for this to get to bowl eligible. It would be their sixth win if they win this game. Wait, dude, do you have the right line here? Or am I, like, off? Oh, shoot. K-State's 6.5-point dog?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude, I thought they were 6.5-point favorites. Give me K-State all fucking day.
You heard him, folks. They are playing for bowl eligibility, K-State is.
But no, that's what I was saying is now after that APR thing, so they're going to be bowl eligible either way.
But do you think Bill Snyder's really pitching, guys, don't worry about it. We're going to get in on our academics. Just go study up. Make sure you don't fuck that up in the next 2 weeks.
Is that what APR stands for?
Yeah, it's like academic progress rate.
Ah, I didn't even pay attention to what it actually meant.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it means. It's academic
progress rate. Why is Nebraska that high?
I mean, what else are you going to do in Lincoln?
Go chew on some corn.
You just chew on stalks of corn? Billy, where you at? I'm eating corn, Ma.
I think that's what they do in Iowa.
It might be. All right. West Foss, 6.5-point favorite at K-State. I like K-State to be able to keep this game close. Even if they don't win, they're going to be able to run the ball, control it enough to keep Wendell Smallwood. Dog won't stop barking. I'm going to cut all this.
Blah.
Well, that's not helping because now I'm looking for a stop. Yeah, I think that K-State is going to be able to keep the rushing attack going for them, and Huebner is going to be able to keep the game close enough where they're not going to lose by 7 at home for bowl eligibility without the academic side of things and all that. Wendell Smallwood's a very good back. I just don't really know Skyler Howard can get vertical in that defense. Snyder and Holmes are tough out. So, yeah, I'm taking K-State to cover the 6.5. I don't think they win the game. I think they lose by like 3 or 4. So,
Chuck. You don't think they win?
No, I don't. I think Smallwood's a very good back. So I think he's getting
good. I heard you say that name a bunch of times while I was trying to tune it out.
Mm-hmm. You don't like the idea of – like you just don't even want that in your head to think about Smallwoods?
No, I generally try to tune out all the random stats that you throw out.
Which may make sense in why you lose half the time where we are in the spreadsheet.
Oh, what's next?
Chuck, you want to talk about our next Smallwoods?
Huh? Come again?
Okay. So, Chuck, San Diego State is hosting Air Force. San Diego State is a 4.5-point favorite. I know you're really amped for this Mountain West Championship game. Give me some insight.
Dude, is this like a neutral field game? Where are they playing?
Oh. They're probably playing at San Diego State. I don't really know who's itching to host the Mountain West Championship game.
I'm just trying to see if I get like a little home field advantage. I'm trying to figure this one out here.
Let me look. I don't really know quickly where I can type that in.
Looks like the game is played in Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego.
I think that's where the San Diego State plays.
They play Qualcomm?
I think.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, I mean,
maybe Brady Hoke could go get his old job back.
I mean, I don't think he's going to replace their current coach. They play at Qualcomm. So, yeah, it's their stadium.
I know absolutely nothing about these two teams, but I'm going to take a shout out to my boy Dub and go with the Air Force.
Okay. So, Air Force has no offense to speak of. Could be because it's chilly in Colorado. You never really know. But when you go to San Diego State, they don't have a good quarterback. He has 13 touchdowns in the year, 2 picks. Maxwell Smith, very proper name. Probably get a pretty good job after this, maybe. But their key is the running game.
So I know you probably don't know much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Maxwell Smith is out for the year, so that's why his stats look shitty.
He's had 200 attempts. Okay, well, fine. Christian Chapman. How did you know he's out for the year?
Because when I was telling you there was the line movement, I thought there might be an injury, and I click on it. Both quarterbacks are out for the year for both teams.
Oh, okay. Well, don't you worry, your pretty little head, Chuck, because guess who's up now? Christian Chapman. He is 24.
What do his stats look like?
He has 24 attempts on the year for 12 completions, throwing for 50%. No touchdowns. He's still looking for, he's going to get his first one in the Mountain West Championship. You really got to enjoy the power storm of that. His 120 yards passing on the year.
He's due to break out.
He's going to break out. He's a true freshman, I think. He's a freshman. Maybe he's true. Maybe redshirted. I have no idea. The running attack, that's where you have to watch out for the Aztecs. Donnell Pumphrey has almost 1,500 yards on the year.
Oh, I've heard of that guy.
There you go. Look out for him. He's got 16 touchdowns. Chase Price almost has 900 yards on the season. They're both going to try to do their thing rushing to try to really ease in their boy Christian Chapman, who they're still trying to meet and get to know. It's kind of a meet and greet for this game, you know? So I think the Aztecs will be able to beat the Air Force Falcons, and I think they will cover the 4.5 just because Qualcomm. You don't go to Qualcomm to lose. So, no, sorry, you don't go to Qualcomm to win. Yeah, no one's leaving Qualcomm. So I'm taking the Aztecs to beat the Falcons.
Bold move, Dia.
Pretty bold. Both quarterbacks are out, so it's – it's a pretty tricky situation for Air Force. I mean, they just can't really afford to lose. It's still loading. Carson Roberts.
Do you sound pretty confident in this pick? You want to lock this one up?
I'm going to lock this one up. You want to know why? Because their backup quarterback for Air Force, Nate Romain, is 7 of 18 on the year for less than 40% passing. So I'm going to go ahead and lock up the Aztecs.
Dude, he's the one that's out for the year.
Then what happened to Carson Roberts?
I don't know. I'm just looking at Nate Romain is the one that – Nate Romain's been out for the year for, like, most of the year. He's our starter.
Oh, okay. Well, he only played 2 games then. So the other dude's played the whole year, and you're saying he's out for the year?
No, he's playing.
So there's starter Carson Roberts, who's been playing all season, still playing.
He's still playing.
I don't think that matters. Fuck it. Still taking San Diego State.
You're torn.
Not so torn. Carson Roberts wants more stats on him. He's 53% passing on the year for a whopping 1,400 yards, 10 picks, 9 touchdowns.
You know, out of all the games we've talked about today, we spent the most time talking about Air Force San Diego State.
Hey, it's not my fault you punt on the American games, okay? You don't punt on the Mountain West games.
No, that's because those are better conference. Mountain West and Sun Belt are better than the American.
There's no Sun Belt games for the nighttime tonight.
Conference USA, whatever.
Okay. Let's go to another team you may know a little about. The Stanford Cardinal goes to Levi's Stadium. They're 4.5-point favorites. Stanford is, not the stadium. They play USC. Does Clay Helton get a raise pretty quickly after getting this job this week?
Well, I'm sure he got a raise when he got the job.
Will he get a second raise?
No.
No.
Will
he get a bonus?
Yeah.
For winning?
I think USC wins this game. Even though I was on Stanford last week pretty heavily, I think the Stanford's defense, if you watch, I know you didn't watch the game, Notre Dame was able to move the ball up and down. Move the ball up and down on Stanford's defense all day. USC has more weapons on offense than Notre Dame does. Now, I do think Stanford's going to be able to score on USC. USC doesn't have as good a defense as Notre Dame does. But I just think that USC is going to outscore them. I know they met earlier in the year and Stanford won, I think, by either 9 or 11. I just think USC's clicking better right now. Give me USC to win straight up.
Charlie the Pup does not like your selection of USC.
I was listening to the first team on the way into work. They made an interesting statement about why they – because people were asking why would they give him the job before the Pac-12 game. And so
I thought it was interesting. Pat Eden is sick and doesn't give a damn to look up and –
I thought it was interesting that – so the reason that they give him the job now is because if you like the guy and we're going to give him the job, then you give him the job now. If he wins the Pac-12 and you give the job to him, it's the public perception is, well, you had to give the job to him. He just won the Pac-12. And then – so, I mean, I think it was a good time for them to pick to choose to give him the job.
Well – but like, if you're USC, you can afford to do that, though. Like, you can afford to wait. I mean, if he says no because I'm going to go to, like, Maryland, then, oh, well, you lost the coach to Maryland. I don't know. I just think they could have waited if they really wanted to. But I just don't think they cared.
Who else would they have really gone after?
Shit, you took the question I was going to ask you. Dino Bites.
No.
Dino Babers, he would have taken that one.
He jumped all over that one.
Lane Kiffin's available.
Yep, they tried that one.
I don't know who they would have gotten.
People have been saying Jeff Fisher, Jack Del Rio.
They're not leaving the NFL to come back.
Yeah, I mean, and second of all, they've never been college coaches. You don't know how they'd be.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Fisher's been an NFL coach for 20 years. He's not going to be like, so I get to go and recruit high school kids? And they're like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
So, yeah. But I think it was good to keep him.
Yeah.
But anyways, I have USC winning that game.
I'm taking Stanford. I think that Cody Kessler is a good quarterback, but I also think that Stanford's defense will be able to respond. I think Christian McCaffrey is going to give USC everything that they can handle, both special teams-wise and up front. Up front, their front hadn't been all that great this year for USC. Also, Juju Smith-Schuster is pretty much their weapon offensively. Not entirely sure what they're going to get from the rushing attack this week versus Stanford front, which isn't what it is every year, but it's good enough, I think. I'm going to take Stanford to cover the 4.5. So,
there's that. Interesting, Dia. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep it interesting. Let's stay over in the Carolinas. North Carolina and my boy Marquise Williams, they go to Charlotte, I want to say, to play Clemson. Clemson's a 5-point favorite. You got a stance there?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is probably one of the most intriguing games of the night or the day. Obviously behind Air Force San Diego State.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
I see this game going one of two ways. North Carolina is either going to win this game or just get run off the field. And a lot of that is just kind of the intrigue of we don't really – I mean, North Carolina looks great statistically. They have, I think it's like the number 4 offense in the country or 2 offense in the country, something like that. Well, they haven't played a top defense all year, played 2 FCS schools, blah, 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 blah. Haven't beaten a top 25 team, freaking lost to South Carolina. Now, I do, over through the course of the season, like UNC. Gene Chizik has fixed that defense a lot. Obviously, the offense is good. Their defense helps create turnovers. Clemson, on the other hand, has beaten some good teams in Notre Dame and Florida State. Their defense is spotty. Sometimes it shows up. Sometimes it just doesn't. And then we all know about their offense. Their offense is very good. But again, they haven't played very many great defenses either. So that's why I think there's a lot of unknowns in this game. I'm going to go with my gut says... Clemson.
Clemson.
But it's a toss-up to me.
So your gut's just going to toss that thing?
I mean, my gut.
Does that mean you're just gonna be yakking during this game?
Okay. No.
Okay.
Depends
on how loud you get for Air Force.
I mean, I mean, it's one of those games. I can tell you the outcome literally 5 minutes after watching it. Who's gonna win? But
five minutes after watching, it's been final for 5 minutes, and of course you can tell me.
No, five. I mean, 5 minutes into the game.
I'm just fucking with you.
But yeah, so I mean, either UNC is just going to be outmatched or it's going to be a really close game. And I'll take my chances. I think Clemson kind of runs away with it.
I think Clemson's a better team. I think Clemson is going to win this by close to 2 touchdowns. I think this will be close for a while because I don't think Clemson really pulls away from any teams in the first half. I think that UNC's defense, especially their ability to stop the run, is like they're 100-something in stopping the run. Like they just effectively can't get off the field, which I think Deshaun Watson and Wayne Gallman will be able to capitalize on.
Is Gallman going to play?
I think he's playing. So I think he'll be able to extend drives, and I think all that will go their direction. So I think that Clemson is going to be able to win this game and by more than 5. So I'm taking the Tigers.
Dang, D.A., I talked more than you for once.
Yeah.
I even had stats.
I know. See, like, whenever you have something to say, I don't have to embellish enough to make it seem like we actually know anything about games.
You can tell by our sports or by our betting record, we probably don't.
But see, if you missed the front half of the show, you may actually think, well, maybe these guys know what the fuck they're talking about, but we don't. Actually, I don't. Sparty, 3.5-point favorite, plays Iowa in Indianapolis. Is it at Lucas
Oil? Oh, yeah.
Chuck's going to this game. Chuck, I know you can't pick the game since you're calling it, but what do you think happens?
I think it's going to be a good game, kind of your typical Big Ten type football game. Neither of these teams, when you look at them, are high profile as far as they have star players, star athletes. They're more of the old school grind or the ground and pound, three yards and a cloud of dust. But this fits both these teams. They actually both average about 33 points a game. Both give up, I forget what the number was. I think it's about 21 points a game. But their numbers are very similar. Sparty has a little bit more playmakers, but kind of, it didn't happen last week, like I said, against Penn State. Sparty kind of plays to the level of their opponents. Sparty plays very well in an underdog role. Not so much in a favorite role. I'm going to go with Iowa to cover the 3.5. I see it as a down-to-the-wire field goal type game either way. But I think Iowa is going to cover the 3 points, 3.5.
All right, taking the Hawkeyes. I don't know. I even watched Iowa more intently this past week than what I normally would, and their defense is a lot better than I gave them credit for. Their offense will make long drives, consistently running the ball. Beathard will complete passes to move the ball down the field. But what always gets me is that they don't score a whole hell of a lot with that effective offense, and
they average 33 points a game.
Yeah, I know, but I'd still point out they haven't played that many good teams, so that's not really
so. Northwestern, one of the best defenses in the country this year, they put up 40.
Mm-hmm. But Northwestern's been blown off the field a couple times this year.
Who else blew them off the field?
Pretty sure Michigan did, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, Michigan. That's the only other game they got blown out this year.
I don't keep track of Northwestern. Like
scores, I do.
But you do?
Remember, they beat Stanford.
They did beat Stanford week one. Yep. That's their claim to fame where they scored a whopping 16 points.
They're ranked number 12 in the country or something like that. Crazy shit.
Do you think they're better than, like, what's the number? They're better than 125 teams?
Who, Iowa?
No, Northwestern.
No, you said there was only 127 teams.
No, but you said, like, but Iowa's not number 12. Northwestern's 12, right?
Yes, 127 minus 12 is
115. All right, so like, yeah, I don't think they're the number 12 team in the country.
But kind of go back to the original.
So my original point is I don't think Iowa has played a lot of good teams, and I don't really think they're a 30-point team. I mean, you love saying eye test, and I just don't think eye test says they're that high scoring of an offense.
But do you think Michigan State passes the eye test?
Compared to Iowa, yes. Compared to most teams, no. I don't think they're the top 5 team in the country. But that's where they are.
That's where they be.
I mean, teams they've scored over 30 points. Stop me when I hit a good team. You ready? Purdue.
Yep.
Minnesota. Indiana, Maryland.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Iowa. Here's who they've scored more than 30 points on. Purdue, Minnesota, Indiana, Maryland, Northwestern.
Good.
Okay. Illinois, Illinois, they didn't score over 30. Take them off the board. They're at 29.
West Lawton is special.
Okay. North Texas, Iowa State. Legit. And Illinois State.
Yep.
Okay. So the only team we named that they could that we could say is a good team that they scored over 30 on was Northwestern.
They also scored 29 and 28.
Okay. So 29 against Illinois, bad.
28 against Nebraska.
Bad.
Bowl eligible.
Okay. So my point is that I don't think they're a 30-point team. I don't think they're definitely not scoring 30 points against Michigan State. I'd be surprised if they go over 20.
I mean, I don't think they're going to score 30 points. Don't get me wrong. But do you think Michigan State's going to score 30 points on them? Nope.
I think they could. I give Sparty a higher chance of scoring 30 than I do Iowa, and by a wide margin.
Yeah, but that's not the type of game Iowa's going to be playing to win this game.
Oh, I get that. So I think this is like a 21-14, 21-10 game. I think Sparty ends up coming out. I think it's closer than the score indicates, but I think Sparty comes out and wins this game by a touchdown.
Boo, wrong answer.
All right. All right, Chuck, you have any off-the-board picks for this week?
Let me see what other games are even on the board here. I'm going to do a quick flyby here. My off-the-board pick of the week, Katy Tigers roll.
Okay, what's that line looking like?
I've got it as Katy minus 32. I say they cover it.
Nice. I bet they cover that by half, too. I'm going to take Texas State to cover the 25.5 versus Arkansas State.
I've got UL Monroe to cover 22.
They're a 3-point favorite.
Why does my thing say 22 then?
I have no idea.
Well, I should take New Mexico State at 22 and try to middle that with a 3.
You should. I don't think, no matter how many injuries, unless the team got like all thrown off, it didn't move 25 points.
Yeah, I don't know why it shows 22 because all the books show 3.
Hit it, Chuck. Buy it.
I'm gonna rethink that bet. 22, I was willing to take them, not a 3. Okay. That seems a little off.
All right, so you don't like that line anymore.
No, so no off-the-board bets this week for me.
All right, so the only 4 off-the-board games are the Sun Belt games this week. Ooh, there may be one next week. Next week, you want to bet on Army or Navy?
What's the line?
I don't think it's out yet.
Nope, not out.
Let's say it's, what do you think of it, like 15 for Navy?
Yeah, something like that.
All right, so you want Army or Navy?
Navy.
Navy, okay. So you're going to take Navy minus 15. There you go. All right, $1,000. What money line has interest you today?
Do you pick first?
Okay. I'm going to take the case. I don't think they win. I'm going to take the Temple money line.
You're putting all your money on a Temple money line?
Yes.
Well, shoot, dear. I was contemplating that one.
I took it from you.
After I gave you that one-word response, I was kind of going back with my theory. I give you one-word answers, but they always win.
Well, see, you can't be like, I gave you that one when all you said was the word temple, and I was supposed to be like, ah.
No, I am throwing it all down on the USC Trojans money line.
All right, USC.
Now, for the record, so I'm just picking the money line so I can get positive for the year. I do like USC a lot in this game. The other game that I do like a lot from a betting perspective is Iowa. So those would be my 2 bets of the week in real life.
All right, so Iowa, no, what's USC, plus 105?
No, plus 170, 180?
I got 180. Here, hold on. I just misread it, plus 180.
Yeah, trying to cook the books, do you?
That's what I'm known for. All right, so If I wasn't just betting Temple, I would also probably put money on – I looked at K-State. I still like that game for the 6.5. That's probably about it. In Texas.
Do you know Kenneth Farrell might not play?
I did not.
Just letting you know.
Oh, he didn't play last week, did he?
I have no fucking clue. I'm just looking at the injury report. He's questionable.
All right, so you have my picks, Chuck picks. I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving, and we'll be back for maybe a 5-minute podcast next week. We're going to try to see how quick we can knock that one out. We will be back for bowl season. We're going to try to get Jaws on. If Jaws doesn't answer, we're going straight to the fun guy. We're going to get Uncle Brett on. So that's all for covering the spread for week 14. I'm Dia. Thanks for listening. Chuck, tell the people goodbye.
Goodbye.
We out.